Podcast, SHOT Show special number 3. I've got Dave and Brooke Zavigny as my guests. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Hey.
Good. First day of the SHOT Show down, I have to admit I'm a little bit fried. I mean, we've been running and gunning, doing podcasts, doing the television specials and stuff. I know you guys are just as busy. What's your day been like?
Just lots of activity in the F&H booth, talking about the 5-inch competition model, and of course the full product line, rifles, handguns, machine guns. It's always a busy day in there.
Well, I swung through there, and one notable piece of news, Dave's wearing an FN shirt.
Yeah, new blue jersey.
What's the word there? What can you share with us at this point?
Yeah, I'm going to be competing with the team FNH, and just like last year, I ran the FNH 5-inch gun, and I'm going to be doing the same this year in select matches.
Excellent.
And we're also going to be doing some development. So, I mean, it's more than just shooting. I mean, there's going to be some development and testing, and it's all good. We're gonna have a busy season.
Well, that's exciting stuff. And I know they're very happy and excited about the new long slide FNS.
It's been good, and it's going to get better. It's close right now. I mean, what you see on the floor is just a version of the basic external, what it would look like. But internally, we're hoping to change a few things and just suit it to competitive preferences. And it also help for the law enforcement market that wants a full-size gun versus the 4-inch.
Excellent. Now, Brooke, you're going to lay hands on one of these also?
I'm hoping to. Maybe slide into the production division again later at the end of this year. So we'll see what happens.
Excellent.
Yeah, I miss it. I'm ready to get back to it. As soon as it's USPSA approved, I'll be back in the game for production.
Excellent.
But you know how it is. I mean, we go to Steel Challenge, we shoot 3 guns there. Single stack is its own match. Open USPSA, limited, standard. I mean, we are hands in a lot of different handgun sports.
That's terrific. Yeah. Another interesting sponsor of yours, one you introduced me to on a limited basis at Steel, is Gaston Glock. And you had a chance, you were telling me earlier, to try out and actually field test some of their gear.
Yeah, I mean, they bailed us out yesterday. I mean, a lot of their products kept us warm. Just high quality, things that you don't normally see, at least in the apparel market. And, yesterday was brutal. I'm glad we had some of the base layers and the wool pullovers and headgear and gloves.
Right. For everybody who's not paying attention to Weather Channel or isn't out here at SHOT Show, range day yesterday out in Boulder, had 20 to 25 mile an hour winds and a standing measured air temperature somewhere in the mid 20s. So add in the wind chill factor to that, and it's downright miserable day for shooting.
Yeah, but we got to see who was serious about being here.
Right. High end clothes make it bearable at least.
That helped.
Yeah, it was definitely not about looking good yesterday, but staying warm.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Not a fashion show day at the range.
Yeah. Absolutely not.
Outstanding. Well, I have to say, both of you guys have a fantastic voice for radio.
Not as good as yours, man.
Wow.
Or your dad's.
You're sweet to say it, but this is where Jim got started. This is his start in telecommunications. Yeah. So
passing the torch.
It's kind of an interesting way that we kind of bring it all around full circle. Is the world of podcasting is I can have my own radio show in a briefcase and put it on whenever I want. So
Yeah. Pretty
cool stuff. What are we looking at on the horizon for you? What's 2013 hold for you guys?
Pretty much the same schedule. I mean, you see me every year. We start out usually at a local match, local state-level match at Griffin, Georgia State Steel. I'm racking my brain for the schedule. Florida Open, series of area matches leading up to single-stack nationals.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will be back at the Bianchi Cup this year in either metallic or production. Just depends if it's production legal or not.
Excellent.
And, I mean, the rest of the area matches and then national season late in the season.
Sure. Mm-hmm. What are you planning on campaigning at Single Stack this year?
Well, that's the sticky part of what's going on now. I mean, things are slow moving, and I am working in some development areas with FNH, so I may or may not have a gun. I'll have a jersey. It may be the same gun I had, but in select matches, I will be shooting an FNH pistol, whether it's in production or in a Steel Challenge match. And and it's not just competition, but, you know, I'm also doing things with law enforcement and demonstrations and training for them.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. How much transparency, how much similarity or difference is there between this new FNH pistol and the other polymer pistol you have the big background with?
Yeah, I mean, they're all good guns. I mean, they shoot soft. I mean, any polymer frame, especially with a minor caliber, is going to be a big difference versus a major caliber. I tend to like the lighter guns. I think they stop easier and they swing faster. And just features about it's just a little bit different gun. I mean, you see all the different products out there. I mean, the FN has some good features with the interchangeable back straps. I like the aggressive texture on the grip. The Magwell is one of the best I've seen on any production gun. There's no ridges or anything that's going to interfere with a fresh mag change. You got your accessory rails for the LE market. Oversized trigger guard if you're wearing gloves. We learned that yesterday. I shot with gloves all day, and I didn't feel like it hindered my ability to get in and out of the trigger guard.
It's good stuff.
Just little things like that. Cocking serrations for guys who like to press check and... and it's built like a tank. I mean, that's another thing that's cool about it. I mean, it's just a really stout components. And I took the armorer's class about a year ago. And so I learned the internals of it. And at first, just like anything new, you know, you have your reservations about it. But once I got my hands in there, and I have a machine background. And I mean, when I was 16 years old, I was grinding compound angles to 50 millionths of an inch. So stamped out and... Injection molded parts aren't, you know, that hard for me to understand.
50 millionths of an inch.
Yeah.
Yes. I was talking with, and to that point, I was talking with Tommy Tacker and Larry Houck about the torture test, the 6,000 rounds of torture that they ran through one of these pistols, and absolutely flawless, without a hiccup. You know,
that was it. Well, I think we did that. I think I may have shot that in a day last summer.
At one point.
I mean, we got to see firsthand the torture that these things endure, certainly more than we would do in any kind of shooting, whether training on a range or, I mean, I don't even know anybody could afford to shoot that kind of ammo.
Right.
It's literally cartons full, and it's definitely a tough gun.
It's fun stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, they run different types of ammunition, though, during the test firing, too. So, I mean, because not everybody is going to buy the same ammunition. So, I mean, it's
all
very thorough
power.
Testing.
Yep.
And it's all hot, full power. Carry great ammo too.
That's neat stuff.
Yeah, we get to shoot the softer loads.
I mean, there's some famous, you know, there's some famous internet video of guys running a 1,000-round torture test on a 1911, and you see the gun just absolutely white hot, just melting, and you think, dude, how about 6,000 rounds through a polymer gun?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just the technology is there now, and it can hold up. It's pretty fantastic. Mm-hmm. Let's get away from shooting. What's on the horizon for you guys away from shooting? You know, I mean, new married couple. Guys enjoying life?
Oh yeah, it's going great. I mean, we go to hockey games and try and take some trips when we can, but I mean, shooting is our life and our hobby and profession, so I mean, things mostly revolve around the range, and it's nice because Brooke's family is near the ranges where we compete and also train, so we get to see them just about every week. And that's what we like to do.
Good. Fun stuff, man. Well, I've noticed, yeah, I picked up on a little bit of the hockey games. You're always kind of, whenever you're at one, you'll pop a picture of the rink and put it up on the Facebook and the social networking. And a couple of times you turned up in Nashville Predators games.
We saw the Gladiators. They're our local ECHL team. NHL, I guess, is getting their act together, and they're getting back on the ice. And for me personally, it's a hobby of mine, and both the leagues I play in started up again, so the seasons are fresh, and we're up one level, so we have to work a little harder and skate a little harder and do everything better.
That's great.
Yeah.
How much ice time do you get in these, you know, rec league? I'm assuming it's a rec league.
Yeah, they're rec leagues. I mean, we call them beer leagues. The open league I play in, it's middle double A, So it's still a long way off from pro.
Well,
but it's a competent recreational level, and you know the guys get along, and I mean it's good exercise, and
yeah.
It's just a fun game. So it's been a passion of mine as long as I can remember, and there's few things that would get in the way between me and a hockey game
right.
if I had to choose. The other league is every Monday night. It's all the older guys. So that one there, the games are faster and definitely slower.
Gotcha.
Faster than that, it's only 15 minutes versus 25.
Those are the more entertaining ones.
Yeah, you see a lot of right. a lot of funny stuff on those.
Good fun. Well, what about you, Brooke? What's your pastime? What do you like to do?
Well, I've always been active in sports, I guess. We're going to try to get to the tennis courts and use our new tennis rackets soon.
Oh, okay.
I used to play some, but we're going to attempt to get out there when we get back home.
Nice.
Yeah. Tennis courts were only good for when I would practice rollerblade moves with my hockey gear
right.
on. And most of the homeowner associations didn't like me tearing up their new pavement and everything, so I had to get away from that. But I mean, the only racket sports I ever played were I think racquetball is awesome for reflex and stop and go, which is very could tie into practical shooting. But we do have new tennis rackets that we want to try. So that,
good fun.
Hopefully, no one will be watching, but it'd be good for both.
So, Brooke, you got a background in tennis.
Well,
it sounds like Dave has no background in tennis.
I played softball.
This has the potential of being pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
I played softball, but it was a little bit more complicated when I got to college. It just kind of slipped away and focused on education. And then tennis was an easier sport to get back into because you can play with one other person. You don't need a team of 9 players, so it's a little bit easier.
Yeah. Good times.
And we hunted together this year. I mean, that's another thing we like to do. We'll go camping and hunting, and it was a little bit dead this year. I don't think either one of us saw anything, and
time together in the woods.
And
not a lot of married couples can say they get.
At least on the way out.
Yeah.
then you sit alone in a tree for a few hours, hoping to see something.
You cover more ground when you sit in two different tree stands.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dave, you've always been famous for maintaining your physical performance, being very conscious about your diet and the things you choose to do around matches, leading up to matches.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we with that? Are we continuing that effort?
Yeah, well, when I'm on a range, I like to eat a lot. I mean, it just keeps the blood sugar even. And a lot of times, especially in the hot months, I usually like to eat fruit. I don't drink any soda or anything. At the most, I may try something like a G2, but that's very infrequent.
Right.
And even when we go practice on a range, we always load up a cooler. And just for me, it's combinations of, I wouldn't call it exactly health food, but just things that at least, keep your energy up. You know,
More conscious of what you're putting into your body as fuel.
Right. Yeah. You know, like, I don't really care about your candy bars or soda or anything like that. But, I mean, I'll eat string cheese or, grapes or any assortment of fruit,
fresh fruit kind of stuff,
things like that. But I'm definitely not a health nut. I mean, I eat what I want, try and burn it off.
Right.
Metabolism slowing down a little bit. I have to work a little bit harder.
I know what you mean, brother. I'm staring 40 right in the face.
I have already. I'm past that point now.
Oh, okay. Well, you're pulling it off fantastically. I'd have never believed that. Max Michelle has also become pretty well known for wanting to maintain his diet, being very focused in terms of what he does. And interesting to me is interestingly a word. I don't know. Anyway,
it is today.
I spoke on the podcast, as a matter of fact, with Blake McGiz, and he told me that he spent a lot of time leading up to this year's Nationals working with Max and taking a different approach to his shooting and his lifestyle in terms of what he's choosing to eat and drink around the range, based on some input he'd gotten from Max. And I know you and Max have shared some time around national level type competition. And I think what's notable in Blake's case is, here's a guy who's trying it and having a great deal of newfound success with it. So there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly about just keeping your energy. I mean, there's times where in a long day you'll start feeling like you're dragging, and you have to do something to spike your energy and get back in the game. And I mean, that's the most challenging part, because I mean, the last thing you want after all that effort, after all the hours and days and miles traveled, is to get there for your 15-second run and feel like, you know, you just don't, you're not at 100%. So I mean, trying to stay there is the biggest challenge. So there's a lot of balance, and you also don't want to slack. You know, when you're not shooting, you want to help the other guys, the squad, and be sociable where you right. have to be. And it's just a matter of, I mean, the experience, you know, just letting your experience carry you at that point.
You bet. Mm-hmm. Bob Vogel is famous for grip strength training, and I've taken some cues from him in the last 6 months since IDPA Nationals and started grip strength training myself, and I'm mm-hmm. seeing some improvement in it. Have you ever paid any attention to that, done any regimented grip strength training?
Not really. I guess just as hard as I grip my hockey stick.
Right. And there's a lot to be said for that, yeah. too. It's a kind of a cross-training type thing. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never really, I mean, just aside from the circuits and weights, I mean, and the hockey, that's about it.
It's good.
But I know the, I guess they're called, the crushers.
Captain's a crush.
I'm familiar with them, and it's pretty amazing the guys that can crush
really.
The number two or three or whatever they are. I mean, because I think even the one is challenging if you do a lot
it
of
is.
Repetitions
it
with
is,
it.
Yeah.
Or try, or, I guess, you know, hold a credit card or whatever it is, the test is.
Right, right. Yeah. It was interesting for me at Nationals. I had just kind of started scratching the surface of it, and I talked with Bob at length, and, you know, he said, here in my bag I have the model number one, and I couldn't close it. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've gotten one of my own, and I'm up to the 1.5 now. So it's one of those things. There's a pretty quick ramp up in terms of improvement, but mm-hmm. I've also found, and I've talked with others who have found, a point where you get a diminishing return.
Yeah, you don't want to turn your gun to powder.
you can easily overtrain your hands too, mm-hmm. and so it's an interesting thing. It's something I've been sharing with the podcast listeners, is my mm-hmm. progress with the grip strength training. And
yeah.
more and more of the pro shooters I'm talking to on the podcast, I'm asking them about it. And mm-hmm. it's interesting. Some are, some aren't. Some, like in your case, have a benefit from other activities that carry over and so on. So,
mm-hmm.
We haven't seen you in IDPA in a long time. What's going on there? Are you looking at coming back into IDPA
No, I just got a full plate with the other sports between Steel Challenge and USPSA,
right.
Bianchi, and everything else. You know, what I'm trying to focus on right now, and, you know, it's just a preference, and, you know, where I want to go. Yeah.
Bianchi Cup, Brooke, you've been to Bianchi Cup?
I have not. Mm-hmm. This will be my first year mm-hmm. out there, so okay. I heard it's going to be a long week.
It's fun. It's fun. One thing... from my own personal experience, practice getting to the prone.
Yeah.
Be very careful about banging your knees into the ground. I learned that the hard way. So.
Yeah. Might need to invest in some good knee pads.
we've had some instruction on the show from people who will show you how to, you know, plant a hand and kip out where you never actually hit your knees on the ground, because there's a lot of jarring force, and it's repetitious because there's, you know, multiple times, multiple yard lines where you're going to do that. Get up and get down. Get up and get down.
So yeah.
One thing, at least that's my piece of advice from my limited amount of experience out there. And,
yeah, and keep your hat back.
Right.
if it's down too low and you're trying to read yeah. your sights from a low position, a lot of times it'll wash out if you don't kick it back.
Practice going to the prone. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. What are you planning on shooting? Are you going to do an open gun or a metallic gun, or what do you got?
Probably metallic. Mm-hmm. We're still, I guess...
kind of
some
working
things
that
out. Yeah.
Good. Okay.
It'll be some kind of iron gun for both of us, whether I shoot the FNS or some other development pistol that may surface in the next couple months. Who knows?
I believe that standing challenge for a production shooter to break 1900 is still standing.
Yeah, that'd be quite an accomplishment.
Or it may now be a 19. You need to clean it with a production gun or something. There's a nice chunk of money.
I have faith some of the guys who are in there doing it now could probably do that, maybe in a practice setting and everything,
yeah.
and it will be done eventually.
Right.
And, I definitely have my work cut out for me to even crack the top five, because those guys are really good at what they do.
That's always the difference maker about that particular match, because you'll talk to even the top guys, even the absolute high echelon guys that say, I've done this 20 times in practice, and it just doesn't fall into place when you're there. At Columbia.
It's everywhere. It's still a challenge. You know, oh, yeah, I shot a 70, whatever, and
right.
you get to the match in your high 80s or whatever.
Right.
Or in USPSA's case, the classifiers, it's a measurable test, and, yeah, I shot such and such a time and so many points on this one, and then...
Right. You know, when I was at my range.
Then you zero it somewhere else.
Right.
So, I mean,
right.
on demand, you know, one shot, you know, nothing matters, nobody cares, you know, that's...
that's the beauty of it.
Yep.
And that's one of those things that I think I've started kicking around a little bit in talking with guys from the Steel Challenge. I talked with Casey about it after his win. Has anybody yet shot the perfect Steel Challenge? And the answer is no, because nobody has yet shot the entire Steel Challenge one for one. And it, you know, until that happens.
Right. Well, and if you do go one for one, you're probably reading the sites way too slow.
Right.
And
so
you're giving up somewhere else.
Can somebody go one for one at a competitive pace? And, it hasn't been done yet. BJ's shot a couple where he's had very minimal pickups, and he's done very well with that. But, you know, is that sacrificing some of the speed? Is he taking a tenth off of the speed? I don't know.
Well, everyone, the individuals right now that you see in the top 10, anybody who's gone the SEAL Challenge, at least even after the first time, are going to understand what they have to do to get the best score. What, you know, they're not going to just back off and go one for one. If all of a sudden they impose the 10-second penalty for every miss, then everybody might go one for one.
So, right.
So, a miss being an extra shot in this case.
A pickup,
so, I mean, knowing the scoring system and how it is, everyone's going to go wide open as fast as they could see their sights and deliver a good trigger press and try and get the hit.
Right.
And I mean, and we have the benefit of having the visual of the paint in the ring, aside from calling your shot calling. So you really have three different ways to verify whether you hit it or not.
Right. In your training, specifically for shooting, give me a ratio between active live fire and dry fire.
No, I mean, probably less than a couple percent dry fire. I mean,
really?
Yeah, I mean, I did most, or maybe 5%. I mean, I'm thinking. I've been working with the CERT pistol a little bit, and then with all the different guns that, and most of the dry fire, at least for us, it happens after you're cleaning.
Right.
You know, we'll clean a gun and then we'll work with it and practice a couple of draws. But I don't spend excessive amounts of time now. You know, versus when I first started, a long time ago.
Am I hearing Eye of the Tiger from somewhere? That's freaking awesome.
Is that your closet?
That is fantastic. No, that's not my theme music at all, but I'm totally hearing that. That's rad. Mm-hmm. Well, that is good stuff, guys, man. I appreciate the time sitting down.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
David Brooks of Igni. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we'll see you on the range.
You bet.